Father in heaven, we thank you for your great and awesome love for us and your mercy for us. We ask that your presence would be with us today and with Harold especially while he speaks, that we would have soft hearts to hear the words you have for us, that we would be obedient to what we hear, not just hearers only. We ask for your grace and your mercy in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Wish you again a happy Mother's Day. We're so honored to have our mothers here, and I want to say that we need to think more often of how much we appreciate our parents and what a blessing it is to have them. You may wonder how I put these two together. People like grasshoppers, each known personally, comes from two sections of Scripture here. First, we're going to discuss the Tanakh reading and then Brit Chadashah. By way of introduction, I want you to know that Gracie, my wife, and I have a number of friends that are Russian Jews, and it's interesting because we went on a vacation with some of them up north a number of years ago, and there were all these Russian Jews, and Gracie and I were the only foreigners there. And this one who was very dear to us took us on a walk, and she said, "You know, Gracie and Harold, I think you have a hard time understanding what it's like to come from a country where atheism prevails." And she said, "We weren't brought up, although we're Jewish, we weren't brought up to believe in God. And when you talk about believing in God, it's like switching a gear that it just seems impossible to switch. So you've got to understand what we're going through." A number of years later, this same woman had a party for her mother and dad who were celebrating their anniversary, and nearly all the people there were Russian Jews. And this one man who was there was an engineer, an automotive engineer for Ford Motor Company, a Russian Jewish man. And we got into a conversation about God and the universe. And he said to me, "You know, you talk about knowing God personally, but," he said, "it is very hard for me to think of the universe as it is, this vast expanse and all of these nebulae and star formations. We can't see the end of it here for these galaxies. And that God, a personal God, would be interested in me personally." He said, "That's very hard to comprehend." You can understand his reasoning if you ever look at a bird's eye view of a crowd of people, let's say in St. Peter's Square, listening to the Pope give his message. It does look like a bunch of locusts, you know. Looks like a bunch of insects all together. How could God look down from heaven and think He cares about me? I'm one of these little, tiny, minute things down there in that crowd of people. And when you think of the world, it's just this huge mass all over the world, and he sees each one. So should we see our relationship to God in a different light? What does Tanakh teach? And what does Brit Chadashah teach? Let's look again at Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Wow. That's unbelievable, the amount of expanse. And God has control of all of this. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. These huge galaxies, so many stars they could never be counted. And with the most powerful microscope we have, Hubble or other microscopes, we can't see the end of all of those galaxies. How do we fragile human beings, even the chosen people of God, deal with our feelings that God is far off and has no personal concern about earthly problems and weaknesses? I'm just too small and too insignificant in the universe for God to care about these everyday problems that I have. So God asked a question to his chosen people, the people of Israel. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from Adonai, the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. I don't know if you've ever read the book. It's not a thick book, but it's very powerful by Elie Wiesel, called Night. Elie Wiesel was a professor at Boston University when my son was going there. And he went into concentration camp as a teenager. He was an Orthodox Jew. And he saw the most horrible things happen. The killing of his own people. And he ended up feeling perhaps there is no God. That book left me numb. He made the experience of concentration camp so real. Now we have Paula coming here. Paula Gowis wrote this book, Needle in a Haystack. And Paula was just a young girl, and she watched her mother being shot to death before her very eyes by the Nazis. So there were things that happened during the Holocaust that people who've lived in the United States and grown up in a comfortable surrounding can hardly realize. The solution is in the realization of who God is and how he can rejuvenate our weak human and frail being. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Adonai, the Lord, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. I was reading the biography of Albert Einstein. He thinks the creation is just amazing. He says it's hard really to understand it all, and he's just in awe of it, so much so that he doesn't consider himself as believing in a personal God. He's more a pantheist, where when you don't understand about God, he and others who are famous in our history starts worshiping the creation itself. But God is real, and God wants to have a personal relationship with each of us. Isaiah writes, he gives strength to the weary. You say, I'm so tired, how can I go on? He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Or another translation is, they constantly falter. I can tell you, I was in the Army, and the Army had a lot of men who were quite successful businessmen that they just took in and began with basic training, and some of them were so out of shape. They were young, but out of shape, and they gave us these stringent marches up and down hills, big hills, and they would fall out at the sides. Oh, I can't go on. Oh. And the sergeant would say, shut up and get back into ranks. And even the young can feel washed out. And things can happen in life that make us feel washed out, even when we're young yet and strong. So even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But what is the answer? But those who hope in Adonai, those who trust in Adonai, those who have firm conviction that he's alive and he loves me, will have renewed strength. In the Hebrew, yechalifu koach can also give the idea of exchange. You know, when there's a holiday and people get the gift that they don't want and they go back to the exchange department the next day. So God says he has his exchange department. It says those who hope in Adonai, the Lord, can exchange their weakness for his strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Gracie and I went to Alaska on our 50th anniversary. That was 9 years ago. And you see these giant eagles just soaring. It's such a beautiful sight. And the thing about an eagle is they do what's called molting. At a certain period in their lives, they may be older, but they lose all of their feathers. They just shed them. And they grow new feathers, and they become like a new creation. And they just soar. And God says that it can happen, that if you have the kind of conviction about who God is and the kind of meeting with Adonai personally, you can become a new creation. And whereas you've been dragging your heels through life, you can soar spiritually when you really know what it is to trust him. You say, how is that possible? I'm just one of billions here. And we're such a tiny spot in the universe. You mean to tell me that God really cares? Well, God promises also through Isaiah, but through the other prophets and through even through Moshe, that he would send the Mashiach. Moses says that God would raise up a prophet like unto me from among your brethren. Unto him shall you hearken. And God promises that since we've gone astray from him, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Isaiah writes in the 53rd chapter, and it's going to be like the Kohen HaGadol at Yom Kippur. He laid his hands on Azazel, the scapegoat, and he transferred the sins of Israel to that scapegoat, and he ran off into the wilderness, ostensibly to die with the sins of Israel. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he comes into the world. And he finds certain people who are going to become part of his kingdom. And they come from all walks of life, and they all have needs, difficulties. And he sees them as these individuals. Here is Adonai in the Messiah, reconciling the world to himself. And he sees this tax collector. He's Jewish. His name is Zacchaeus. His Hebrew name, Zakkai. You know what it means? Pure. He was anything but pure. They had a bad reputation, the tax collectors. Now, Rome was seen as, in many respects, although they were the government, they were an enemy. They were abusive. And here he becomes an employee of Rome, a tax collector, they call him publicans, often cheating his own people. And guess what happened by his cheating his own people? He wasn't thrashed. He was very rich. And he hears about Yeshua, the Messiah. There are all these crowds around, and he had something in common with me. He was very short. I'm not rich, but I'm short. And he didn't know how he was going to see him. So he climbs up into this sycamore tree. By the way, when we were in Israel in 1998, we went into Jericho, which is just a small Arab settlement now. It was bigger then, and Yeshua is coming through Jericho, and they had a tree there, a sycamore tree, and they had a sign on it that this was the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus had climbed. The English explanation, it was put there by the Arab country that's in charge of that now, and the English wasn't too good, but you could get the idea that this was the tree that Zacchaeus or Zakkai climbed. And so he climbs up this tree and he's looking down, and it doesn't say that Yeshua delivered this huge, beautiful message about the need of mankind. And so it doesn't say anything about a message that Yeshua delivered. And it doesn't say that Yeshua was introduced to him personally. Nothing like that. So Yeshua is coming by and he looks up into this tree and by name he calls him Zakkai. Come down. I must dwell at your house today. Huh. What does that say to you? Sometimes we just let this pass by. He knows us each personally by name. It's the God of Israel come as Messiah. He knows us each personally by name, and he knows all about us. Oy, Gavol, that can be bad. You know, Lord, there are some things I wish you didn't know. But you can't hide it from him. So he says, come down. I have to dwell at your house today. And he came down at once, gladly, it says. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, oh, you know, Yeshua has gone to be with a sinner. And guess what happened to this sinner? Listen, it shows by what he said he knew Torah. He says, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount. According to Shmot, Exodus, I think it's supposed to be twice the amount. He says, I'll give him four times the amount. I feel so badly. He says, if I have cheated anybody. Listen, there was no if about it. That's how he got rich. But the Lord sees him as a needy person. And he says, I'm going to your house. And he didn't even have to preach a sermon to him. Just being in the presence of the Messiah, he feels his own guilt and unworthiness. He says, I'm going to do a turnaround. I'm going to do what pleases the Lord. And Yeshua says, today, salvation, deliverance has come to this house, this man's house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. Although he was born Jewish, his actions weren't like a man that was dedicated to God. He says, I'm going to do a turnaround. And he becomes a child of faith in that turnaround. And Yeshua tells why he came to this earth, why God sent the Messiah. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Guess what was lost? The whole human race, Jew and Gentile, was lost. And the Lord came to deliver the lost. He said that the well don't have a need of a physician. In that sense, we all need to realize I'm sick spiritually and I need the Lord. I need my inner being transformed. And that's all that God is concerned about when he sends a Messiah. The Son of Man came to seek and to save, to deliver what was lost. That's myself. That's mankind. At another time, there's a very godly man that comes. Somebody who really takes Torah sincerely. And it says, the next day Yeshua decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. Yes, his name means a gift of God. And told him, we have found the Mashiach, the one Moses wrote about in Torah. and about whom the prophets also wrote, Yeshua of Nazareth, Ben Yosef, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Oy gaval, Nazareth. That crossroads, that collection of strange and people from all different places. Can anything good come from there? And he didn't start arguing with, come and see. Do you want to see what God has to offer? Come and see. When Yeshua saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Boy, what a testimony. Here's a righteous man. How do you know me, Nathanael asked. He had never been introduced before. Yeshua answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. You were all alone and I saw you. What kind of person is this? You were all alone and I saw you under the fig tree. You know what he was probably doing? By what Yeshua says afterward, he was reading Torah. And he was reading about Jacob at Bethel when he was outdoors and he didn't have the best mattress in the world. There were no Tempur-Pedics there. He had a pillow under his head that was a rock and he lay down and he went to sleep out there in the open and he had this dream that there was a stairway to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on the stairway. The African American people sing that spiritual climbing Jacob's ladder. And so, listen to what Yeshua said. He tells him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel, because he saw him when he was all alone and he could tell what he was doing. Yeshua said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angel of God. God, the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, who is the Messiah. Messiah is the Son of Man. Messiah is the Son of God. You know, if you read Torah Sheval Peh, the oral law, you can see that many of the Israeli exegetes had a much higher idea of who Messiah would be than many have today. In fact, the high priest, when he questions Yeshua, this is in the closing chapters of Mark, he says, are you Mashiach ben Hamivorach? Why would he add ben Hamivorach? Ben Hamivorach means the son of the blessed. Ben Hamivorach means the son of God. Are you Mashiach, Messiah, the son of God? And Yeshua acknowledged that he was. And he says to this young man who is seeking God and who is reading the word and absorbing it, Nathanael, whose name means the gift of God, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Yeshua said, I am the way, meaning to God, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father, Adonai, except through me. God sent the Messiah to reconcile mankind, Jew and Gentile, alike to himself. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. I always say it's like Frank Sinatra said, I'll do it my way. Each of us has turned his own way, and Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When I was 17 years of age and my father was dying, I heard this message that Messiah had come. And my first prayer was, I had always prayed out a siddur. But my first prayer was this. I didn't want to believe in something false or one who was false. I said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show me whether Yeshua is really the Messiah. And I asked him into my life. I felt I had religion, but not God. I used to love to go to the synagogue. And I loved to go through Hebrew school, but I felt my need for a personal relation with God. And I read the Messiah's word in the 11th of Matthew. I was going through this deep water of watching my father die. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's like, get under the yoke with Yeshua. That's how they spoke of coming under a rabbi. You get under the yoke with him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find the kind of Shabbat that you really need on the inside. Rest for your nefesh, for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I asked him into my life and he rescued me. And I just feel like I want to just share with those around me that he is the same God who knew Zakkai and Nathaniel personally before they ever saw him. And he knows each of us personally. And he knows everything about us. And there's no sin so terrible that his atoning sacrifice can't atone for. We Jewish people have a Yom Kippur without the sacrifice. But in the Torah, by Yikra, Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in Hadam, the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It is Hadam, the blood, that makes an atonement for your soul. And it is the blood of Messiah and his atoning sacrifice that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. And he says to everyone who hears the good news, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you take his atoning sacrifice and believe him, he does give you chaye olam, eternal life and forgiveness of sin. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness. And we just pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of each one and bring us to yourself wherever we are right now and enable us, dear God, God of Israel, to put you first in our lives. In Yeshua's name. Does anyone...